I have a hazy, dim memory of some point in Sunday school growing up where we drew pictures about this gospel. We had a picture of a path and we were coloring it in, and we drew plants growing up at various points along the landscape. And the question was asked to us, what kind of soil do you think you are? To which there is only one good answer, right? You're supposed to be the rich soil. And then we talked about, and what are the things that can make you rocky soil or thorns or on the path, etc., etc. But again, the message was clear. You're supposed to be the rich soil. You're supposed to make yourself into the rich soil. And while there's certainly something to take from that reading of this parable, I think it is really only the most superficial level of what this parable invites us to. And when we take a deeper look at it, and especially when we hear it in the context of the first reading and the second reading and the psalm we had today, all of which speak not about the action of whoever's tilling the soil and setting up the field, but instead speak about the action of God nurturing the growth of everything in creation, we're invited to hear this parable a little bit differently. So let me give you another elementary school example, this one related to the first reading. The rains come down, and they do not return to God until they have fulfilled their purpose. Does anyone remember drawing pictures of the water cycle? I don't know if this is something that we only did in the 80s in middle school and that it like fell out of the curriculum or something, but in case you don't have a live memory of this, we'd draw a picture and there'd be mountains on one side and the ocean on the other and rivers and the landscape and all these paths that the water could take, and it would evaporate from the lakes and the rivers and the ocean and come up into the clouds and fall down as condensation, and some of it would go into the groundwater and others would flow down as rivers, and you'd end up with this circle of arrows and multiple branches, but all showing the return of the water and the endless cycle and refreshing of the water. Just as the rains come down from heaven and do not return until they have accomplished God's purpose. What that picture tells us, because you would never think to draw a picture of the water cycle and then say, which part of the water are you? Are you the rain or the ocean or the groundwater? Because the point is that all of it is actually the story of water. And all of it happening all the time is the story of water. Any one molecule, any one drop might be found at any point along the cycle, but the story is the whole thing. When we look at it from that angle, what today's gospel invites us to marvel at, to be amazed by, to praise God for, is not so much that I have made myself the good soil as if I had the power to do that in the first place, but rather the amazing fact that when the seed cast out by the sower, apparently without a care, because you would think the sower is able to see the path and see the thorns and see the rocks and ignores all of it, seed everywhere. When the seed falls on good soil, it grows up. Other places in Scripture we're reminded we know not how. The seed grows up and yields fruit 100 or 60 or 30-fold. And there's the miracle. Right? That, I think, is what we're being invited to be amazed at and to praise God for in this parable. Not so much the fact that we somehow, by our own goodness or our own insight or our own knowledge, have figured out how to receive the seed, but that by God's grace and providence, when the seed does fall into good soil, the harvest is amazingly abundant. Think about where this parable is set and how this parable is set in the gospel. Jesus announces it, and he's immediately met with his disciples saying, "Why do you speak to them in parables? Why are you talking to them in code?" And the answer he gives, I think, ought to discomfort us. It ought to make us uneasy, because what he says is, look, to the ones who have, more will be given, and to the ones who have not, even what they have will be taken away. And that certainly doesn't sound like the Jesus we think we know, right? That doesn't sound like the one who is always generous to those in need. Instead, I think what's going on here is that Jesus is talking about the mystery of the way that the Word of God, the way the grace of faith, takes root in our hearts. That when it starts, when it finds fertile ground, it accelerates more and more. And that then the growth of faith, once it finds fertile ground, is not simply a linear progression. It's not one thing added on to the next, but it's an explosion of grace. It's an upwelling of the Spirit. It's this plant springing up out of the ground, yielding enormous harvest. And so when Jesus is talking to his disciples and talking about how mysterious the reception of the Word of God is, and all the ways that the Word can be sowed and then not come to fruition, I think one of the things he is doing is inviting us to marvel at how lucky we are, at how gracious God is, that we are among those, by the very fact of our presence here, we are among those for whom the Word has fallen into rich soil. We are among those in whom the Word has taken root. And right now, this is the image of the water cycle again, right? We are in the midst of it. Right now what's going on is that the seed in rich soil is growing up to yield a harvest 100 or 60 or 30-fold. We're in the midst of that. That's also, I think, what our second reading points us towards. And look, if you take nothing else away from listening to me for a few minutes today, please go home, pull up the second reading on one of the readings websites, and read the second reading again, because it is beautiful. Paul says, all creation awaits the revelation of the children of God. Paul says that the very world we stand in, the rocks and the trees and the stars and everything, is waiting on us. Paul says that creation has, up until now, been subjected to futility. It has been deprived of its purpose because it's awaiting the revelation of the children of God, us. And that what's going to fulfill creation is when we have the glory of God revealed in us. That's what creation is waiting for. When the Word of God is sown, and when it falls on rich soil, which, please God, we've done our part to prepare in the ways that we can. But when the Word of God falls on rich soil, oftentimes we know not how, and springs up and begins to yield its harvest, we're called to remember that at that moment we stand in the middle of the miracle. At that moment in us, the first reading is being fulfilled. The rain which comes down from heaven is returning to God and fulfilling its purpose. Creation, which has awaited groaning in labor pains, the revelation of the children of God, is being fulfilled. And the harvest is springing up 100 or 60 or 30-fold. So as we pray today, and as we go out into the world and we continue to look for the evidence of grace at work, as we continue to look for the places that the Word of God is sown, I think that the gospel invites us not so much to figure out how to make the soil richer. If we see the opportunity, yes, absolutely, of course. If you can pull up a few thorns, if you can take out a couple rocks and give the seed more room to grow, do it. But mainly I think today's gospel invites us in those moments where the seed has fallen into rich soil to give praise and thanks to God, and maybe above all else, to cooperate in the harvest, to be about the work of the plant growing up to yield fruit 100-fold. Because when that happens, when the seed of the word takes root and becomes fruitful, then we are in the middle of the miracle. We are in the moment that all creation has been waiting for. Thanks be to God for that.